In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I'm so glad to see all of you this morning, that you got here safely. When I looked out the window this morning, I wasn't so sure, especially my apartment complex that had not been plowed or salted or anything. So I was like this. And then I saw the light as I got to the main road, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. So I am very glad to see all of you this morning. In today's gospel, we fast forward about 30 years. Now, it was only last Sunday that we had baby Jesus, or Jesus as a toddler, being sought after by the Magi, who found and paid him homage and then returned home by another way. We thought we had heard the last from John the Baptist during the Advent season. But today, an adult Jesus has made his way from Galilee and to the Jordan River to be baptized by his cousin John. John, we know, had already been busy in his ministry, foretelling the coming of one more powerful than himself, that being the Holy One of God, whose sandals he himself was not worthy to carry. If we've read prior verses to this one in chapter 3, we are reminded that people came from near and far to hear John, who made the desert his home. And we remember, we know that John's voice rang out proclaiming a message of baptism, a baptism that went beyond ritual cleansing. The baptism that John proclaimed was a once and for all baptism for the repentance of sins. And as we remember, John pulled no punches. Turn back to God. Get your lives in order. John even had the nerve to call the religious leaders of his day a brood of vipers, because John was not fooling around. Amen?
Amen.
You see, John was adamant that everyone was to prepare for the coming of the Lord and for the coming of God's kingdom. And no one was beyond his message, which was a message of judgment, yes, but also a message filled with hopeful expectations. And so along the banks of the Jordan, Jesus comes to take his turn. Jesus has chosen to do this just as he, who was the Son of God, is the Son of God, chose to be born, to take on flesh and come among us, to be one of us, to be for us. Jesus had no need of John's baptism. He had no need of it for repentance of sin. Yet he so identified himself with our humanity that he was willing to what? Submit to it. Now, unlike other versions of Jesus' baptism, in Matthew's version, John protests. He says to Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Because you see, John knows that Jesus is superior to him. He is the Son of God. And in John's mind, John is just a messenger. So all of this is clearly more than he expected. But maybe John had no idea of how near the kingdom would be to him, or that Jesus would actually come to him for baptism. Maybe he had no idea that power could come in other ways besides military might, but that power, God's power, would be found in humility, servanthood, and immersing one's life in the life of others. For John, this should be the other way around. But unless we judge John or jump on John for his reaction, we ought to note that John is much like us. There are times that we have no idea how close the kingdom of God is to us. There are times when we just didn't or don't see it or recognize it. We had or have no idea, or we forget that God, being God, will simply show up at any time, anywhere, any place, and in any situation. Amen?
Amen.
And we have our own ideas about power, don't we? Let's see. The loudest, the richest, the strongest, the most privileged. No, not always. We forget that there is one more powerful than us who would really show up like Jesus did and redefine what power is. And if we are honest, I wonder how many times we have said no to God, or who, me? You can't mean me. You're really paying attention to what is going on in my life? We've said no to God sometimes because we thought God was too busy, too remote, too much up there to hear us. Or maybe we think we've had it all figured out. We never thought there might be another way. And so sometimes we leave no room for God. So who can blame John? How could he or we expect the Creator to be baptized by the created? That the Creator would give his sandals to the one who is unworthy to carry them. And yet, that is exactly what Jesus did. And do you come to me? This is not just John's question. It is also ours. Sometimes it just seems too incredible to believe that God loves us as much as God does. Sometimes it seems incredible that God would even come to us. Am I the only one thinking that? Am I the only one thinking that? Because sometimes it seems too incredible that God loved us enough to send his only son into the world. But God did, and God does. At his baptism, Jesus answered the question once and for all, and do you come to me? And Jesus' answer is yes, yes, yes. Yes to John. Yes to you. Yes to me. And yes, even to the world. God comes to everyone because all of us is so loved. And sometimes that just sounds like it's repetition, repetition, repetition. God is love. God loves us. But if God didn't love us, who would? Because we know how we are. We can go there. But there is one person, one being, who always, like Whitney Houston, I will always love you. And there is no one beyond God's love. Yet, sisters and brothers, there is a choice that each of us must make. We can choose to accept God's love. We can choose to make room to open ourselves to God. Or we can choose to close our doors, our minds, our hearts to God and to God's will and to God's way. John consented and baptized Jesus. And as Jesus came up from the water, the heavens opened. The Spirit of God descended like a dove, and a voice, the voice, proclaimed, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This was the Father's acknowledgement, the Father's stamp of approval that all righteousness has been fulfilled. In other words, Jesus came and he, like John, were to be obedient to God's will and God's way. Jesus' baptism was more than him dipping his toe in the water. It was more than his immersion in the waters of the River Jordan. It was his immersion into all of creation, into the depths of humanity, and into your life and mine. His immersion meant the joining of heaven to earth and earth to heaven. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God is with humanity. And God is with us thoroughly and completely. Yesterday, today, and in every tomorrow. By our baptisms, we too are a part of God's plan of salvation for the world. And again, Jesus comes among us to reveal how to fully embody and claim our humanity and care for all of creation. God always has and always will. Sisters and brothers, we must consent to his coming, for we are called to the imitation of Christ in our lives. Through our baptism and by walking the way of discipleship, walking the way of love, we too have heard a voice, the voice, saying to each and every one of you, you are my son. You are my daughter. You are the beloved. With you, Cassandra. With you, Kia. With you, Michael. With you, Mildred. With you, Adrian, and Bill, and Nancy, and Camille, and Candace, and Joyce, and Annie, my sister Valerie, and Muffin, Ricky, Adriana, John, Sylvia, Lois, Lizelle, Karen, Wilbur, Flo, Michelle, Barry, Walter, Michael, Stan. I hope I didn't miss anybody. If I did, I'm sorry, but God did not miss you. With you, you are God's beloved. God says, with you, I am well pleased. Remember that. And remember that you are claimed by God. And no matter what you are thinking, no matter what you are going through, God promises never to leave us defenseless or alone. From Isaiah today, we hear a reminder of God's steadfast love. For God says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. Sisters and brothers, in this season of Epiphany, may we all continue to open the eyes of our hearts to see the signs of God's love and faithfulness within us and around us, indeed throughout all of creation. For the kingdom of God is here. Amen.
Amen. Amen.